I spy with my little eye something beginning with D.
Is it the development of transport infrastructure so WA's drivers, cyclists, bus and train users can easily get to their destination every day, Dad?
I was going to say detour, but okay, that.
It might mean a few delays, but every construction sign you see around WA is a sign of great things to come. Search Building for Tomorrow to see what it means for you. Authorised by the State Government, Perth.
We are the Navy Blues. We are the old dark Navy Blues. We're the team that never lets you down. We're the only team old Carlton knows. With all the champions, they like to send us. We'll keep our end up, and they will know that they've been playing against the famous.
This show every week is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club. Your hosts today are myself, Chris Browning, joined by Craig Bradford and Paris Fabriciani. As always on the program, we look at all AFL and Blues news. Special guest live interview today is Carlton Football Club historian and a walking, talking Carlton encyclopedia, Tony Del Boffo. Kate Jezolinko joins us for Kate's Plate, a dish best served cold. We cross live to the Hive and David Rees-Jones for the much anticipated shirt front, provide information on WA Blues supporter events and anything else in footy we can squeeze into the hour. But first, Craig, we couldn't do this show without our loyal sponsors.
No, we certainly can't. Firstly, we thank WA Blues major sponsor Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors Allmark and Associates, Master Picture Framers and the Carlton Football Club home in WA, the Empire at 220 Great Eastern Highway, Lathalane. And a big special thank you to Barbara O'Butchers for their season raffle participation.
Thanks, Craig. Okay, what we need to do now is we need to cross live to our good mate, Kate Jezolinko. Good morning, Kate. Welcome to Breakfast with the Blues today. How are you?
Thank you. Good morning. I'm wonderful.
That's good. It's good to have you on
the show. The sun's shining today. It's a wonderful day.
It's great. It's great to have you on the show. So we missed you last week. There was a bit of a problem last week.
There was a problem. My children decided to put the phone on aeroplane mode, so no phone calls come through, and I don't get to get any phone calls.
Oh, that's good. What have we got on Kate's plate today, Kate? Who are we going to roast? Or are we going? Or we got a bit of love today?
We've got love today. Very special person on my plate today. I'm serving up a big slice of celebration cake made with love and absolute admiration to my amazing father and Carlton legend, Alex Jezolinko, as it was 50 years to the date last Saturday that he took the greatest mark in grand final history in the 1970 grand final against the old enemy, Collingwood. Dad's spectacular leap over Collingwood's Graham Jerker Jenkins will long live as the iconic moment of the 1970 Grand Final. Many people believing that this was a moment that changed the Grand Final. So raise your glasses and let's toast to the great mark and the wonderful man himself who was and always will be a legend and an absolute champion, Alex Jezolinko.
Your beauty! Your beauty!
Position on the members stand side. Oh, Jezolinko!
Now, yes. Now tell me, Kate, too, I've been watching a little bit on Facebook. How's Trent going with that rabbit cage?
Done. He did it.
Done?
It's kind of, the back part's not quite together, so I can't put that side, but it's done. It's inside and it's done.
It seemed to be...
I think he lost some screws along the way.
Some screws whereabouts for the cage or for his head?
No, in his head.
And you must have been pretty happy also with his performance with open mic on, was it Tuesday night? Open mic with
it, yeah. Yeah, it was Tuesday night. Very, very proud of him. He had many things written about him which weren't quite true, and I was just glad that he trusted Mike enough to come out and actually tell his truth. So it was very, very, very proud girl.
That's good, yeah. It's, you know, it's sometimes when you're in the spotlight, things get written and said that aren't always true, and it's always a good opportunity to have to actually get up and actually say your from your point of view and actually give truth rather than facts.
Well, give facts rather than untruths. Yep.
That's the same thing. It's yeah, Saturday morning.
I thought it was a very good interview. I thought it was a very good interview. Yeah. It was, he really opened up. He was open and honest. I'll tell you what I did like. I liked his last act on the footy field where he tried to take out Salwood from Geelong. I thought that was good.
Yeah, he got pummeled for that. I got a few comments from people saying that it was a dirty move, but I didn't think it was at all. I think it was the last crack, and I think he knew his career was over at that point, and he thought, I can't go off being weak with a foot sideways. I've got to take someone out on the way through. So I thought it was pretty amazing, but, you know, everyone has their own opinion, and that's what we were all entitled to. God knows I have mine, so...
Yeah, look... Just a shame he missed him.
Sorry. Well, he got him.
He got him, but not properly.
Yeah, he did get him, though. Yes. So, yeah, Kate, I know there were some technical difficulties last Saturday, and we really wanted to bring you on last Saturday to do that great, because it was your father's 50th anniversary of that great mark against the arch enemy Collingwood, and I'm glad we got to do it again, and we got it in. So that was fantastic. So that's the main thing.
Thank you. I can't believe it was 50 years ago and people still remember. It's unbelievable.
Well, I can tell you, Kate, this is how old I am. I was actually at the ground.
You said that.
But I was only a very little boy.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't even thought of then, so yes, that's good.
It's actually quite amazing. You see different people on different Carlton supporter groups actually mimicking that actual mark. Like, they've got people taking speckies over a rubbish bin going, Jezelenko, you beauty. So
I saw that one. That was hilarious.
So, you know, 50 years down the track, it still has, you know, people are still talking about it, and just goes to show that our mate has no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, let's not mention him. He's not worth being part of this conversation.
No, I didn't mention his name. I just said our mate.
He's not our mate, is he? That man.
That man, yes.
That man.
Yep. No, we don't give him any more creed. No more. Anyway.
That's it. No more. Done.
All right. It's good to have you back, Kate. And we've got three more weeks to go after this one. So we've got you still for the next three Saturdays. So it's good to have you back. How's everyone going down in Melbourne? Restrictions are starting to come off a bit.
Yeah, thank God. I think they had 8 new cases today. And let's just pray that we're coming out of it. I mean, yesterday was warm and the beaches were packed. So yeah, it's just like people still aren't listening. But anyway, let's hope it's done.
Let's hope so.
Praying.
Yes.
Praying.
All right, Kate. Well, you take care and we'll dial you in again next Saturday. And as always, go Blues.
Go Blues. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks, Kate.
Bye.
Bye,
guys.
Bye.
All right, Craig. Let's go off now. Let's go over now to Blues news, if we can.
Oh, just okay. I thought you were going to Paris with the AFL, but anyway, we'll just change things up again.
We'll just change it up.
Okay, so with the Blues news, Carlton is confident co-captain Patrick Cripps will be ready for day one of pre-season despite undergoing his shoulder reconstruction last week. Cripps went under the knife in Queensland following a season where he suffered 3 instability episodes on his left shoulder during matches. The 25-year-old battled on to play every match, which we, as the season was going on, we had slight suspicions that he was carrying a injury somewhere. So it was good to see that he battled on. The 25-year-old battled on, as we just said, to play every match for the season, but opted to go under the knife on surgeon's advice after sitting out the final quarter of the Blues round 18 game against Brisbane. The AFL has informed clubs that senior players would only be required to return to training from January 6 after disjointed 2020 campaign. Blues Director of High Performance Andrew Russell outlined a potential timeline for the star midfielder. He will likely have 4 to 6 weeks of no running. He'll get back. He'll have a really good running preparation, and we expect him to have a full pre-season on the track and be available for round one, Russell said. In a big boost ahead of 2021, the Blues are confident gun forward Charlie Curnow will be able to enjoy a full pre-season after constant knee setbacks, which he'll be like a brand new recruit, Charlie. As mentioned, Sam Walsh has been nominated for Mark of the Year, and both Jack Noones and Patrick Cripps for Goal of the Year. So everyone, please vote for our Blue Baggers and hopefully get one of them across the line. On some other news, the inaugural New South Wales State of Origin team was announced during the week, and three Blues were selected in the side. They are Michael Gibbons, Matt Kennedy and Will Setterfield. Also, check out the club's website as they provided a season review on every player, which is a good reading. I did like Big Harry's interview on the website, and particularly his comment of, "I cannot wait to play with Charlie again next year." Well, Harry, we can't wait to have you back with Charlie next year. So
all you social media people that think you know that Harry wants to go to North Melbourne and another rumour, yeah, just lay off it, will you? If you don't know anything, just don't comment. So, and by that, he certainly wants to stay at the Blues.
Of course he does. And just in some other news, which I think everyone got yesterday, just a email from Mark Lukudice, just basically writing to provide a brief summary of key targets with strategic plan, which remains focused to ensure survival and strengthening the club's positioning moving forward. One is membership. They're going to continually push membership, financial independence, strengthening of non-traditional revenue streams, continue to get their debt reduction strategy going, proceeding with the master plan of the developments of Icon Park.
Well done, Craig.
Thank you. An investment in the football department, and review of the club constitution. So there's a bit going on there, but looks like going forward the Blues are going to be in a good space.
That's great. Before we just go over to you, Paris, I just want to give a shout out to XWA Blues committee member's wife, Karen Thomason. Happy birthday for this Thursday.
Happy birthday, Karen. To you.
Okay, Paris, I know there's a bit on in AFL news. Over to you.
Yes. Clubs are preparing for a small trim to playing list sizes for next season ahead of potential further cuts in the following years. Negotiations are still ongoing between the AFL and AFL Players Association, but it's looking increasingly likely that there'll be 42 players on list in 2021. Plus up to two Category B rookies. That would be down from 44 this year with three Category B rookies, a status designated to international and alternative talent prospects. It's believed AFLPA representatives started discussing the possibility with players across the competition last week. The composition would range from 38 footballers on the primary list and four Category A rookies who can play at senior level, but their wage doesn't count in the salary cap to 40 and two. The AFL has announced its presenters for the 2020 Toyota AFL Grand Final, with three champions of the game to do the honours. Brisbane's Triple Premiership star Simon Black will present the Premiership Cup to the winning captain, and being named as the Cup Ambassador. Byron Pickett will hand over the Norm Smith Medal to the Grand Final's best player, the award he won in Port Adelaide's 2004 triumph, while AFL legend Malcolm Blight will present the Jock McHale Medal to the winning coach. The AFL has announced Mike Brady will perform his legendary song Up There Kazali as part of the 2020 Toyota AFL Grand Final pregame entertainment. Brady will perform the song from the MCG as a nod to Victoria and the traditional home of the Toyota AFL Grand Final. The performance will be beamed onto the screens at the Gabba and into the Channel 7 broadcast.
How do you reckon that'll go? A vacant MCG with just singing Up There Kazali.
Oh,
I reckon it'll be cool. They did in America an empty stadium, and Miley Cyrus sung Help by the Beatles, It was so cool. So hopefully it's that cool.
Just
sort of
as
vibe.
Long as the AFL and Channel 7 or whoever broadcasts gets the song correct and televised the whole song. They cut him off 2 years ago.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, shame.
I can remember it.
I wonder who they're going to actually have for the entertainment.
It's going to be Craig Bradford singing anything.
Yep, I'll be better than what Make Like was.
Oh, shame. When I went, I got to see The Killers, and it was unreal, unbelievable. Adelaide is investigating an incident involving Brad Crouch and Tyson Stengel after the pair were stopped by police in the early hours of Monday morning and found to be in possession of illicit substance. The Crows confirmed details of the incident on Monday afternoon, saying they expected police to refer both to a counselling process and suggested that neither player would be charged. In a joint statement released by management company W Sports and Media, Crouch and Stengel said they unconditionally accepted responsibility for the incident. We accept that our error of judgment is not in line with the community expectations nor the high standards we set for ourselves. In this regard, we are committed to the counselling process that SA Police has implemented to manage this and will continue to cooperate with our club as required, the statement said. Jesse Hogan is under police investigation after admitting to a breach to WA's quarantine orders. Hogan returned to Perth last week and was in the midst of a 14-day isolation when police visited on Tuesday night in accordance with the government's monitoring procedures. The Fremantle forward confirmed to police to have a female visitor attend his home on September 22nd and entered the premises, a breach of the WA government quarantine directions orders, and now he's been forced to complete his quarantine in a hotel.
Silly boy, it came on the news that he actually had this girl twice over there. So you think they'd learn.
Something
about Freo players just think they're just above the law.
It's not Freo, it's other players. The AFL were very clear in the rules and everything they set down for this COVID stuff.
Yep.
But yet,
you'd think they learned a lesson, though, because remember earlier in the year, those three Freo players had a party?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Might be something in the water at Freo. And
another ex-Freo. Melbourne has confirmed Harley Bennell was hospitalised just hours after the Demons recruit announced his retirement. Police reportedly found Bennell intoxicated around 8 p.m. on a Monday night. They were called to check on a disturbance at a Broadbeach apartment. The ex-Demon was then taken to hospital in an ambulance, and he breached the AFL's COVID-19 protocols the weekend prior and copped a four-match suspension. That sanction also cost Melbourne $50,000.
And his career.
Yep. He arrived back in Perth on Thursday and is under investigation of breaching the WA government's COVID protocols by hugging relatives at the airport on arrival.
Did you see that?
No.
They showed it. Now they can come, but you've got to social distance.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And he's hugging them. No mask, hugging him. And so, but he has been cautioned. So I've heard that there won't be any further penalty.
It must be fun. Like, that guy has seriously worked his backside off with the injuries to get back on someone's list and then just to blow it for a few drinks. Like, we all enjoy a few drinks, but anyway.
Moving on.
First year Sydney forward Elijah Taylor has pleaded guilty to an assault charge arising from an incident at Perth Hotel earlier this month. Taylor pleaded guilty in the Perth Magistrates Court to aggravated assault, occasioning bodily harm. He is due to reappear for sentencing on December 2nd. He was stood down by the Swans a fortnight ago after police charged him with assault over the hotel incident, and he had also failed to abide by a number of club directives, the club said at the time. Taylor was already banned for the season after he broke the AFL and WA's government protocols by sneaking his then-girlfriend into the club's quarantine hub in Joondalup. North Melbourne has cut six assistants from its coaching team, headlined by senior assistant coach Jade Rawlings. Rawlings has been let go despite having two seasons left on a three-year contract he signed with North ahead of the three-win camp 2020 campaign. Fellow assistant coach Jared Moore, development coach Heath Scotland, head of football performance Jason Lappin, next generation academy coach Michael Ferrito, and part-time ruck coach Will Minson will also leave the club in the wake of its horror three-win season. Head of development Gavin Brown will remain, along with Brett Harvey and Lee Adams. Will there be anyone left at North?
It's amazing.
Well, no. Well, the sands with none.
Can you actually name five North Melbourne players?
Simpkin, Zeeble, keep going.
Yep.
McDonald, Tarrant.
Wayne Carey.
Anyway, I don't want to.
See, it's hard. There's nobody there.
Yeah. It's hard.
The AFL has released Mark of the Year and Goal of the Year contenders. The Mark of the Year contenders are Charlie Cameron from Brisbane, Ian Hill from GWS, and Sam Walsh from Carlton. And the Goal of the Year contenders are Josh Dacos Collingwood, Jack Nunes Carlton, and Patrick Cripps Carlton. So come on, Carlton supporters, and get voting.
Yes, please vote, because I've got this strange feeling that our Collingwood counterparts will get on the phone and they'll just keep voting.
Dacos's goal was very good.
Yeah, but not as good.
Not as good as Nunes.
Or
Cripps. Cripps had a bit of Harlem Globetrotter round the back, through the legs.
Yeah. And I think Walsh's mark is very, very courageous. So let's hope. As we said, I'm not sure if it's a vote, but there may be a panel.
So they're taking consideration the votes online, but then a panel is also discussing who they think their best is.
Well, if Jonathan Brown's on it, he'll vote for Walsh, because that's so much like he used to do all
the
time.
The only thing I'm thinking is, with Nunes' goal, they'll factor in, maybe if it was during the game, it wouldn't be as good. It's because, you know, it was at the end of the game.
He was kicking from the first row of the stand.
Anyway, get voting, Carlton supporters, followers, please. Get voting and vote for our blue boys so they can win Mark and Goal of the Year, which would be excellent. Anyway, time now to go for a well-earned break with a few words from our sponsors. And when we return, we cross live to Carlton historian Tony Dalbolfo. Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues.
Station sponsor.
Perth Window and Door Replacement Company remain your prestige conversions and replacement specialists since 1983. With an extensive range of products and services, they pride themselves on their ability to tailor solutions to your individual requests. Not just proud supporters of the Mighty Blues, they are respected members of the Australian Glass and Window Association, ready to serve you with the highest standards and integrity. So for your next sliding, bifold, French, awning, security screen, doors or windows, trust only Perth Window and Door Replacement Company. Station sponsor.
With over 20 years of experience, Laird Blair Buckingham, your master framer, helped make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you're looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. A display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2020 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers, Cannington. Come see us today.
Station sponsor.
Your WA Blues are the official Carlton Football Club member network of Western Australia, established since 1992. In season 2020, we can't wait for our eventual return to the WA home of the Blue Baggers Empire, where we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, food and drink specials for the Baggers, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. Information on the WA Blues supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues and presented today by Chris, Craig and Paris. Now it's time to cross live to a man who is best described as a living, walking, talking Carlton encyclopedia, a lifelong Blue supporter who has paved a successful career as an author, journalist, and whose passion for the Mighty Blues led him to be employed by the club itself as their official historian. Tony Dalbolfo, good morning and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues.
Craig, Chris and Paris, thanks for the opportunity and checks in the mail, Chris.
Not a problem, mate, not a problem.
I hope it's a good one.
Mate, before I hand you over to the panel for some questions, can I just ask you, and can you tell the listeners, mate, how it all began and what made you become a blue bagger?
Great question, Chris. I often say to people, when I ask them this question that you've just put to me, why did you become a supporter? And it really applies to any club other than Carlton, I might say. When you get the answer, it's invariably family or fate. And in my case, it very much was family. And my grandfather was a northern Italian migrant who came to Australia on a steamship in November 1927 with his brothers. He disembarked the ship at North Wharf near where the stadium stands now, the Marvel Stadium. And like a lot of the Italian migrants, initially settled in Carlton. He was living in a boarding house in Canning Street. And sometime, I'm not sure exactly when, around about 1930, someone had the great foresight to ask my grandfather if he wanted to head up the road Saturday afternoon and watch this quaint game called Australian Rules Football being played at Princess Park. And he actually went up there and he saw Horry Clover play for Carlton. Horry Clover was considered probably Carlton's best player between the wars. And once he saw Horry out there, my grandfather was hooked. He always said to me that Horry Clover was the best Carlton player he saw in that period, and that Laurie Nash at South Melbourne was the best player he ever saw. But from that moment on, my grandfather supported Carlton. He died in 1981, the age of 79, having basically followed Carlton for 30 years. And probably the happiest memory I have, Chris, and there's been a lot of happy memories involving the Carlton Football Club, but a memory that sticks in my mind was when I was about 7 or 8, old enough to go along to the footy, my grandfather was a cabinet maker by profession, and he fashioned this little Baltic pine timber stool, a collapsible stool that you could put on the terraces of the Garden Street Inn when there was no legend stand then. And if you can picture this, you know, you're a kid of about 7 or 8 years old, a jam-packed footy ground, and suddenly the stool is unfolded. You stand on the stool, and for the first time in your life, you can see over the heads of the grown-ups in front of you, out onto the field of dreams, and you see Big Nick, Jezolenko, Crane, Croswell, Jackson, Silvani, the whole lot of them. Well, that image is seared into my brain, and from that moment on, you know, that was it for me. And so to answer your question, it's very much a family connection with the club that I have.
Mate, I've got to tell you, you brought back memories when you talked about that fold-up stool, because I had one exactly that I had by myself that my grandfather made. Yeah.
They were great things, weren't they?
They were the best. As you know, Tony, I'm not the tallest man, so they were very good for me.
And do you know what, Tony? Till this day, he still uses that stool.
Well, I was just going to say, Craig, it's funny that I still have that stool, and it's fair to say that I've probably filled out a bit since 1969, and yet the old stool, I wear tested it the other day, and it held up. So my grandfather was a pretty good artisan to fashion a hard-wearing, lifelong Baltic Pines stool for his grandson.
Well, mate, hopefully when we come over next year, you can hand it down to Brownie, so when we go to the football, he can see as well.
Won't that be a pleasant experience to be on the terraces with you to see Carlton play?
Oh, mate, it'd be great. But listen, mate, your knowledge when it comes to all things Carlton, it amazes me, and nobody is better suited to the club historian role than yourself. Your role at the club also includes journalism, interviewing past and present players. And how are you enjoying life at the club at the moment?
Well, interesting times, as you can imagine, Craig. Yeah. I haven't been near Icon Park since March when, the harsh reality came through. And pretty much 80% of the staff, I suppose, myself included, were all put on stood down. You know, we were stood down and basically put on JobsKeeper for the foreseeable future. Thankfully, as time has gone on, they've got me back. So I'm back employed by the club in that capacity. But we haven't really been near the ground, as I say, for what are we now, September. So I haven't been there since mid-March. But we carry on as per normal as best we can from home. And for all the, I suppose, the difficulties and the impositions that has posed, probably one of the greatest moments in my time as an archivist happened this year, Craig, while I was at home. And you may have seen a little bit of news and footage of the goal, the 100th goal that Jezza kicked at the MCG, the career, you know, to bring up the ton in 1970. That was probably, of all the things that have happened to me as my time as a historian, that was probably the most exhilarating moment I've had to be involved in the search that uncovered that precious film.
Again, Tony, I'm showing my age. I was at that game. when Jezza...
Did you run on, Chris?
Oh, of course I did, mate. Of course I did. That was against Melbourne, if you remember.
Correct.
And he had that many shots at goal that people were running to each end of the MCG hoping that the next one would be that 100th goal. But it was a great day.
It was a great day, and I was very mindful of the 50th anniversary was approaching, Chris. August the 29th of this year it was, 50 years, And I had a story ready to go, and I was lamenting the fact in the story that as monumental a moment this was, you've got to remember that, you know, that Harry Vallance got close with 97 goals, and then Dev couldn't get any closer with his 99 later on. But just being the only person to break the ton, I always thought that Seven, in its wisdom, would have had footage of that moment, that very special moment in time. And would you believe, they had footage of the 98th and 99th goals that Jezza kicked in the third quarter, and they had nothing of the 100th goal in the final quarter. We're pretty sure that Seven, in its wisdom, discarded the film reel with a lot of other film reels years before. And it's criminal when you think about it. But bearing that in mind, leading up to the anniversary, I put out a call, maybe there was someone there, a member of the crowd that with a sense of history that knew that Jezza needed five on that day against Melbourne to bring up the ton, and went along with a camera to film the moment. And would you believe it, on the Wednesday before the anniversary, I got a phone call from a fellow named Gary Stickling, who for many years has been the historian of the Carlton Cricket Club and a lifelong supporter of the club, who said that he went along to the game armed with his Super 8 camera and he shot the footage. And the footage is incredible. If you haven't seen it, go to the Carlton website and just key in Jezza's 100th goal, and you'll see it. It's absolutely brilliant.
We've all seen it, mate, and because we also plugged it on here, because we have, every Saturday morning on this radio show, we have his daughter, Kate. She comes on and does a quick segment with us. And last Saturday was the 50th anniversary of that great mark in the grand final, and we wanted to come on and talk about it, but you wouldn't believe it. The kids turned their phone onto aeroplane mode. We couldn't get a hold of her. So we got her. So we got her back on this morning, and we reminisced about that great mark. And she also mentioned that that the guy who gave you that footage also passed that footage on to her and to give to Alex, and she was very, very pleased about it.
Yes, and also I can tell you, Chris, that the film has since gone to the Film and Sound Archive, because they recognise the historical significance of it, right. And what they'll do is obviously digitise it and really improve its quality. So, I can promise you that the Carlton Football Club will obtain a copy of that. I also want to tell you, while we're on the subject of Jezza and the Film and Sound Archive, Chris, that on the Friday before this year's grand final, the archive is actually going to release what it has in terms of footage of the 1970 grand final, both in visual format and in audio. And I can tell you that amongst what they had in the archive was colour footage of the grand final that hasn't been seen, including colour footage of Jezza's mark. Just look out for that one. The Friday before the grand final this year will be released, probably on the archives, the Film and Sound Archives Facebook page.
Look forward to that. I'll just reminisce a bit for you, mate. Just have a listen to this.
To the wing position on the member stand side. Oh, Jezza Linko, you beauty!
There you go, just reminiscing, mate. That was just Jezza Linko's mark by Mike Williamson. I'll hand you over to Paris, mate.
You're an accomplished author in your own right, and you've written autobiographies involving some famous cult names like Silvani, Koutafidis and Kernahan. Just on that note, the Silvani one's my favourite autobiography that I've ever read. Who was your favourite blue bagger that you wrote about and why?
Great question, Paris. Look, I must admit, probably Kernahan was the one that I enjoyed, writing about most. More than anything, just because of the funny process that occurred when we were sitting down, when I was sitting down with him to jot the story down. He was living at that stage not far from the ground in Mooney Ponds, and I often used to go around there intermittently with a tape recorder, a weeknight, sit down with him in front of the kitchen table and set the tape going and let him talk. And I can remember there were moments when I went around to his house where the memory was failing him a bit. He just and he wasn't sort of up for sort of relating his magnificent story at Carlton, and he sort of hit a mental blank. And he'd say to me, "Well, let me walk around the room just for a minute." This in the kitchen, and he'd go to the kitchen cupboard and he'd open the cupboard door, and there would be a mountain of twisties and cheesels and God knows what that would fall out. He'd opened a packet, having a couple of twisties, because he was a shocking junk food man, and he'd say to me, ah, yeah, the creative juices are coming back now, I could talk. So there were some really funny moments that I had with Sticks. Writing Curtis' story, I know that for a period that I met with him in one of the old corporate boxes in the legend stand. We spoke there quite a number of times. And with Stephen Silvani, I think what I remember most about that is probably the connection with family, that how Stephen's Carlton links brought me in great closer contact with his father, Serge, and Serge's mother at this time was still alive. She could tell me a lot about the old days when they came to Australia, probably about the same time as my grandfather, actually. And Mrs. Silvani, a little interesting story. I asked her, I said, did you go to see Serge play a lot, when he started out at Carlton? And she said, I went once. She said, I was in the crowd. We were playing Essendon. And someone in the crowd hurled racial abuse at Serge, and I never went again. So that's very sad when you think of it in that in that context. But there were funny moments too in relation to the Silvani team connection with Carlton Paris. There was a player from Boulder in WA, Alec Eppis, you may have had on the show before, or know of anyway, played at Essendon. Yep.
Kookaburra.
Yep. And he talks about the times that he played on Serge at Princes Park. And he reckons that before the bounce of the ball, the first bounce, he'd break out into a tee into Serge, audibly, so everyone around could hear it, in a tee, and that the umpire that was about to bounce the ball was bloody hopeless. And, of course, Serge would laugh. It was a private joke that they both shared. No one else could speak Italian. The umpire was totally oblivious to what was being said. And that was the sort of stuff that used to go on in those days. It was perhaps the stakes weren't quite so high back then. But you know, when you think about Carlton, you think about the name synonymous with Carlton. You'd have to say Silvani's that name.
Of course.
Man. And, of course, the boy Jack is still going around today.
Yes. And let's hope he has many, many more. Paris,
we have our good mate David Rees-Jones up next. Do you have any dirt that you may be able to share about him?
Come on.
Rees. Look, you know, the thing with Rees, and it's often been said, you probably know this, and I had it said to me recently about him that, you know, what a perfect gentleman David is off the paddock. You know, if ever there's a player who carried white line fever, it was certainly Rees. There is a funny story about David that I can relate, and it relates to the Norm Smith medal. Now, some years before the 87 grand final, Carlton and Melbourne played, and there was a dust-up, and I think it might have involved David Rees-Jones and Brent Croswell then playing for Melbourne. And in the scuffle that ensued, the Melbourne runner, Peter Smith, who was actually Norm Smith's son, later went to Carlton, was involved in the melee, and I think Rees might have actually cuffed Peter Smith.
He did, mate.
Anyway, fast forward to the 87 grand final, Rees-Jones wins a Norm Smith medal, goes up on the podium, and who presents it? Norm's son, Peter Smith. So there you go. That is a true story.
Yep. And Peter played full forward with the Blues in the early 70s too, Peter Smith.
He did.
Yep.
He did indeed. Lived up the road in Coburg, Chris, yep. And was a local boy. And, yep. You know, I heard Robert Walls recently talk prior to the 68 grand final of how he and the players went around to Norm's house before that game to get some advice from the master coach on how best to handle the occasion, the moment, you know, running out before 100,000 people on the MCG. And he always remembered that moment, you know, just to sell the nerves and look forward to the game with confidence, because you've all earned the right to be part of that game and be part of the occasion. So, yes, there was a great overlap between the Smith family and Carl.
Yeah, that there was, mate. Look, mate, well, we're going to have to wrap it up there. But on behalf of the entire WA Blues community, thank you very much for the great memories and for sharing some of your precious time today. And just one last thing before I go, because we're going to have to go to an ad break, Tony. But a lot of people wouldn't know, but you and myself, our first jobs, we started together at the old Southdown Press, if you remember those days, mate.
Those were the days, Chris. Those were the days. You know, I think we were still working off typewriters back then. That's how long ago that was.
Mate, it was. I'm telling you. anyway, mate, thank you for your time. And once again, as we always say on this show, go Blues. Blues.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Chris, Craig and Paris. And keep up the great work. Really appreciate the support of the West Australian community at Carlton.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Thanks, Tony.
Cheers.
Bye. See you, mate.
Great guy, Tony. Anyway, time once again to go for a break with a few words on our sponsors. But when we return, we have our regular segment, The Shirt Front, with our great mate, David Rhys-Jones. Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official Carlton Football Club member network of Western Australia, established since 1992. In season 2020, we can't wait for our eventual return to the WA home of the Blue Baggers Empire, where we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, food and drink specials for the Baggers, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. Information on the WA Blues supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues!
With over 20 years of experience, let Blair Buckingham, your master framer, help make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you're looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. A display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2020 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers, Cannington. Come see us today.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave. Print. Identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Perth Window and Door Replacement Company remain your prestige conversions and replacement specialists since 1983. With an extensive range of products and services, they pride themselves on their ability to tailor solutions to your individual requests. Not just proud supporters of the Mighty Blues, they are respected members of the Australian Glass and Window Association, ready to serve you with the highest standards and integrity. So for your next sliding, bifold, French, awning, security screen, doors or windows, trust only Perth Window and Door Replacement Company. Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues. It's time now to cross to our very good mate on Breakfast with the Blues, David Rhys-Jones.
Jones plays. Oh, what a mark!
First time in my career I'd actually been given instructions to get out and whack someone.
He's been reported.
Rhys-Jones just came in.
I'm glad I'm in Melbourne.
Good morning, David, and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues. How are you this morning, mate?
Oh, very good, very good. I've managed to escape Melbourne, so I've snuck up to a mate's farm. I won't tell you where because police commissioner came out the other day and said, dob people in. So he wants us to become a country of dobbers. So, I managed to get my daughter away, catch up with her horse and beat it.
Excellent.
So, all good.
Mate, it's excellent. But I did notice on the news that there was a lot of other people like yourself who actually escaped to St Kilda Beach yesterday, and there was heaps there.
I know. It's a bit of a joke. I mean, the Ring of Steel is, I got through that pretty easy, so they don't ask too many questions there. But anyway, hopefully it is all finishing soon.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, have you just with the couple of games that have played so far? It was interesting last night watching Richmond get done, and for me personally, also watching Geelong get done.
I quite enjoyed both games, and I picked both winners too. So I was more Barracan for Brisbane, I suppose. As I think I said last week, I'd be back in Brisbane for Brisbane through the finals, and they were terrific. I mean, they bashed Richmond too. That was one of the good things to see. They really went at him aggressively, and Mitch Robinson, it's good to see him, in all the rough stuff and that. And it was a good match to watch, and really, really rattled Richmond. They were a shadow of what they can play.
It was good to see, wasn't it? Like, it really has now opened up the final series that Richmond haven't won and get a week off and go to preliminary. And Brisbane sit there and Port Adelaide wait. So it's real. I think it's really good for the final series.
Oh, it's fantastic. And, you know, Port Adelaide, you know, they haven't been spoken about all year. And, and you know, they've sat on top of the ladder for the entire season. And they were fantastic too. And the one thing you look at is the young kids, you know. The guys are only in their first and second years, and you know maybe third year, and that, and they've just been standing up in finals, and I think that's one of the great things I saw from both Brisbane and Port Adelaide. I was really impressed with the young players who really come to play.
Yeah, it was excellent. Paris.
So Geelong have to now go on to verse either West Coast or Collingwood.
Not via what Charlie Cameron said. No, sorry.
So Geelong will verse West Coast. Do you think Geelong are going to go out in straight sets?
Yes.
I think every chance, yeah. Every chance. Look, that kicking really cost them too. I think Hawkins in front of goal, you don't see that very often from him. And so, you know, they really kicked themselves out of the game. But, yeah, look, finals are a different beast, and you really got to be on your game right from the start. I think Richmond had a bad attitude from the start of the game. I don't think they were. I think they thought they were just going to turn up and win, to be perfectly honest. And there was a good photo of them lining up at the coach and the captain of both teams lining up at the national anthem. And you saw Damien Hardwick and Cochin laughing. And you see the other side, and the stern faces. So. That probably showed a bit of what went into the game, and you just got to be on. So, look, Geelong will bounce back. They're a very good team, and guys like Dangerfield and Selwood and blokes like that in the team, they're not going to go down without a fight. So, but very easily could go out in straight sets.
I think that will be the harder game, and I think then Brisbane have the harder opponent to face in the prelim.
They're just sitting back.
Yeah, well. You know, and even Richmond, you know, coming up against St Kilda and the Doggies. I mean, we saw, 4 years ago, the Doggies get on a run in the finals and win a grand final. So you've just got to be up and going and hard at it right from the start. You just can't sit back and wait for things to happen. You've got to make things happen. And it's a different beast finals footy. And, Richmond are in the cutthroat situation now. I mean, they lose another game, they're out. And the same with Geelong.
Just with the Port Adelaide Geelong game, one thing that I noticed that Port did with Hawkins is they forced him really wide. It's like he had, they were all pretty much not far from the boundary line for shots for goal. Just watching that, it just seemed that their main focus was, okay, if you're going to get it, you're going to get it right near the boundary line. Where he's always a bit suspect, I think, kicking from there.
Yeah, look, he's a magnificent kick for goal. I think he's one of the best kicks for goal in the competition. But confidence plays a hell of a lot too. It gets in people's heads. I don't know what forwards are thinking sometimes, but Brisbane at the moment, he's kicking right off at the moment, and you've got no confidence in him lining up for goal at this point in time. But Hawkins, you can see with that left foot snap that was, just uncharacteristic of him, and it was lazy. And you just look at it and think, gee, that obviously in his head he's just wondering how he's going to get a goal. So, and once that starts happening, you're in a bit of strife, really. So, and then the game last night, the kicking for goal was great by both teams, to be perfectly honest. Didn't miss many at all.
Mate, David, Geelong against Port Adelaide, and this is my observation, and I've never played the game at the highest level. You have, so that's why I'm asking you the question. They looked, a lot of their older players looked slow because the finals tempo, as we know, goes up a notch. Harry Taylor looked slow. Gary Ablett looked slow. Selwood looked slow. Look, they're champions, and I don't want to denigrate a champion, but they just looked old and slow. Your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, well, they are. They are old and slow. I mean, you just can't, and you carry them into games. And that's where I think, teams like Port Adelaide do their homework and exploit it. and grab an advantage from it. And Harry Taylor in particular, he's pretty slow at the best of times, and he's got that awkward gait about him. He just looks like he's hobbling around the place, so you know, you've got to take advantage of those type of things and exploit the situation. And Port Adelaide were able to do it. Richmond were a different kettle of fish last night. I just think they could quite easily bounce back and take all before them and win the flag again. That's the sort of team Richmond have got there. But that'll be a bit of a shock for them. And they'll be waking up this morning not as cocky as they would have woken up yesterday morning.
So the game that no one's really talking about, Saints versus Dogs, who's winning?
I think the Dogs. I like the way the Dogs go about it. Bontempelli, I suppose he's one of my favourite players. I love watching him play. He's just a real superstar of the game. They've got a lot around that midfield. And the one guy who hasn't got much recognition this year is a guy, Mitch Wallace, down in the forward line. Mm. He's just been terrific all year and been a real thorn for the opposition back lines, and really he had something different down there, and he's been terrific. So I like the Dogs, and I think they could take a couple of steps forward and come up against Richmond, and I'd like to see them take on Richmond. I think they can beat them.
The thing that worries me with the Dogs and the Saints game is just the really quick ball movement that St Kilda can have sometimes. I know we exposed the Bulldogs earlier with pace and run. I'd love the Bulldogs to win myself too, but I don't know. It's just a bit of a worry there for me.
St Kilda get caught on the way back. That's their problem. They seem to have this one-way tacking style, and once the ball does get turned over, if they're not precise by hand or foot, it really can hurt them the other way back. So you know, that they need to be on the top of their game. And look, finals footy, the Saints have got quite a few kids playing first final that can, you know, get into them a bit as well. So you just got to be ready to go right from the start, as I said before. So, and the Dogs have been there, and I think they look hungry again to try and get another flag. I think they want to prove that 2016 wasn't a fluke.
Yeah, yep. The Doggies, because the Saints have got two big ruckmen in, I can't even think of them off the top of my head, but anyway, they've got
Ryder and Marshall.
Ryder and Marshall, and English is the Doggies' only ruckman. And when they came up, the Doggies came up against a team that have those two big ruckmen, he's struggled a bit. So he really needs to be on his game for the Doggies to start to dominate out of the centre.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're getting your hand on the ball first. That's Ryder's had a consistent year, I think. Marshall's looked he's looked like he's ready to take the mantle and be the number one ruckman for many years to come. So he looks good. But look, it's an interesting. English has just got to stand up, and you've just got to compete in those middle. I mean, that's the thing he's got to do. He's just got to compete for the entire match. And you know, we've seen over the years, his board a few years ago just turned it on through a final series and really, showed why they went out and paid big bucks for him, and he's gone now. But here he's able to really produce through the final series. So, and that's what happens sometimes. Some players just stand up and have a great month of footy and get their team over the line.
Yeah, just with the Bulldogs, I think it's really now probably time that Josh Bruce pays him back a bit of faith, because he come across with a big reputation and from St Kilda, and so far he hasn't performed, I don't think. So
no, he's been very, very average. I'm surprised he's held his place for a lot of this year, to be perfectly honest. And on form and stats, he'd be out. But while they keep winning, and I suppose, and he keeps competing, he's, they obviously haven't got someone underneath him who can come through and as that, the big strong forward to. And he attacks the ball hard, and he does a lot right that way, but he just doesn't get his hands on it enough, and he's got to be there kicking goals. And as I said before, he could be the one who jumps out over this next 4 weeks and puts a stamp on his career
And it can really be career defining for some of these guys. And Josh Bruce is the sort of bloke. He's got the talent we've seen over the years. So, you know, hopefully he can stand up and be good for the Doggies.
So the game that's arguably the most talked about over here, it is West Coast versus Collingwood. West Coast for you or Collingwood?
Or be like us, Doug. Oh, I don't care.
I don't think I've ever tipped Collingwood in my life. I mean, it was a bit surely back in the day, sort of thing. But no, there's four big ins for the West Coast too. You know, there's premiership players coming back. They've got no excuses, really. They've got no excuses. And if Collingwood get over them, they'll need to do a bit of soul searching over there because they're coming in with their probably, you know, close to their very best 22, and they really should win easily.
Well, mate, the Western Australian government are helping the Eagles because where the Collingwood team are isolating in their hub in Joondalup, they're not enough rooms, and they've got caravans in the car park where the majority of their coaching staff are living.
I heard Bucks make a comment the other day about he's just come from a caravan or something, and I wasn't too sure what was being said there, but the coaching staff don't run out there and pull the boots on, so as long as the players are getting looked after well, that's the main thing.
They got a good tennis court up there in Joondalup, though, if you ask Bucks and Stanford last time, because they had a good tennis game last time they're over here.
Got a bit of strife, didn't they?
Yeah, look, I'm a bit like you.
It's a good golf course down that way, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good golf course there. Yeah.
Look, I'm a bit like you. Is it tonight the game?
Yes, tonight.
Yeah. Look, I could never ever say go that other team, but
go West Coast.
When you're over here, mate, you just get sick and tired. The media is just West Coast, West Coast, West Coast, and to me, I've got no interest in tonight's game at all. I just find it hard.
I did, David. I know this is a silly thing, but I did mention to a lot of people that tonight's a great night if we napalmed off the stadium here. We could get rid of both of the idiots. and they didn't take too kind to my statement, but anyway, that's another question. But
no, look, I don't.
Yeah.
Go on.
I honestly think, and I'm with you, I think the Eagles will get up. I think Collingwood will run them. I reckon they have a good chance.
They'll push them.
But I think the Eagles will overrun them in the end because I think we've got 30,000 here tonight, haven't we?
Yep, and they'll be all out. I hope Eagles absolutely demolish the Pies.
I don't want to go that far. I hope they rough each other up.
Pump them and then get pumped next week.
Yeah, I just hope they beat
each other. The only way Collingwood can win, I think, is if Mason Cox has an idea. You know, they need a big forward to really take a stand, and you've got Kennedy and Darling at the other end who are, you know, they're just very, very consistent performers and good targets coming forward. But if Mason Cox has a day out, as he did against Richmond, you know, a couple of years back, then you never know. They've got a quality midfield, and DeGoey and those sort of blokes, they can come through the middle as well and cause some pain down forward. So, finals footy's great. It's the best of what we've got out there at the moment, and sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah, no, that'll be good, mate. All right, we better wrap it up, Dave. We'll let you get back to looking after the girl on the horse and enjoy your freedom while you can until you've got to go back into Melbourne. But, mate, it'll be good watching the games today, this afternoon, tonight. And as always, mate, we'll welcome you again next Saturday and we'll discuss whatever's happened again and whatever's to look forward. So enjoy yourself and, as always, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go the Blues. Go the Blues. Go the Blues. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too, mate.
David Rhys-Jones.
Legend, isn't he?
Love him. He's always open and honest. Yep. Anyway, we haven't got long to go, but a lot of people... I just wanted to make a quick chat about... A lot of people are asking us about our end-of-season raffle and when it's going to be drawn. The raffle is going to be drawn at half-time. It'll be a live cross. I think it's going to be on Facebook. And so the raffle, for everyone who's been asking about it, will be drawn at half-time of the grand final, so stay tuned to that. Winners will be notified. There's a lot of prizes. Let's hope you can win it. What's the major prize? It's the Murphy signed jumper. And of course, we've got all the other prizes, all the packs from Hyundai, from Masterpiece Frame, from Allmark, from Barbaro Butchers, from WA Blues, etc., etc., etc. We've got all those prizes. So, Craig, you're looking at me like you want to sing, but
I'm not sure. I thought he was going to sing the West Coast song.
He's not going to sing the West Coast song, I can tell you that. So, look, thanks again for another great show, guys. As always, thanks to Kate, who finally got on this week.
Yep.
Thanks for Kate. Our great mate, David Rhys-Jones. Look, I love having David
on. He's awesome,
Rhys. He gives
Rhys.
Up his time.
Yep.
He's been with us the whole season. We've still got 3 weeks to go. Special thanks to Tony DeBoffo, who is excellent. Tony could talk and he knows everything Carlton.
Yep.
So always keep listening to 91.3 Sport FM. We may have a special interview next week, a special guest, one of WA Blues sponsored players we're hoping to be on the show. So stay tuned and we'll put out that information on social media. But as we always say on this show,
go Blues!
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous old dark Blues.
I spy with my little eye something beginning with D.
Is it the development of transport infrastructure so WA's drivers, cyclists, bus and train users can easily get to their destination every day, Dad?
I was going to say detour, but okay, that.
It might mean a few delays, but every construction sign you see around WA is a sign of great things to come. Search Building for Tomorrow to see what it means for you. Authorised by the State Government, Perth.